Welcome back to Missing. I am Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing very well today, Tim. Had a pretty decent holiday. How was yours?
Thanks for asking. It was pretty good, trying to be safe, trying to mostly stay at home if I can avoid crowds and things like that. My God, I can't believe this is happening again. Anyway, we have a conversation with our friend and coworker, Jennifer Amell, in this episode, and it's a short one, Lance. There's not much information on the disappearance of Jackson Brent Garcia, but maybe that's because it's such a recent case.
Yeah, we're just past the anniversary of his disappearance, and he was technically last seen by family members on December 26th of 2020, but some people had reported seeing him in the Springdale, West DeKalb area in South Carolina, somewhere between the 29th and the 31st. So end of December is the time frame over those two or three days where he went missing and he hasn't been heard from since. And like you said, it's so new, it's tough to really report on anything that's happened since because there's been nothing.
Yeah, so I think it's important to share this one to really get this information out there as far as possible. There are a lot of rumors that sort of swirl in this case, and there might be some truth to some of them. It seems like a lot of rumors that have developed in the short year that he's been missing that sort of tells me that some of the rumors could be true, or one of the rumors even. So if there's any information, please submit it to the Sumter Police Department, and their phone number is 803-436-2000.
And you can also visit the GoFundMe page and start the movement, hashtag Brent's Army. That's BRENTSARMY. And the GoFundMe is Justice for Brent Garcia, and that is run by his mother, Angel.
And this case was submitted to Private Investigations for the Missing, and we appreciate the research done by Mary Sarecki. So thanks a lot, Mary. Check out what Private Investigations for the Missing is doing at investigationsforthemissing.org and their social media pages. Okay, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. Please give us 5 stars this holiday season. We'd really appreciate it.
Speaking of that, Tim, speaking of those 5 stars, bumped into a fan. Her name's Lisa, lives around the area here, and she went ahead and gave us 5 stars. I'm not kidding. If you go to the Apple Podcasts review section, you'll see a glowing review there, 5 stars, and every word of that is true, and I didn't pay her a single dime to do it. So please, follow in Lisa's footsteps and just give us that 5-star gift for the new year. Wrap up the new year with that 5-star gift.
We're going to play a quick word from our sponsor here, and we'll be right back with Jennifer Amell and the case of Jackson Brent Garcia.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Jennifer Amell, welcome back to Missing. How are you today?
I'm very well. It's a pleasure to be here. We're talking about a very interesting case today. There's not a whole lot of information out there about this case, but the family is still very active in trying to locate their loved one. And the research for this case was done by our veteran researcher by this point, Mary Sarecki. So thank you, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Mary. And again, thank you to everybody at Private Investigations for the Missing who help us to put together these pieces of information, everything that we work off of for the episodes. And thank you, Jen, for putting it all in one location where we can access it and try to make sense of it all, even though, like you said, there's not a lot of information on the missing Jackson Brent Garcia. But I mean, there's enough here where we can talk about it and we can, you know, get the word out there and keep the visibility as high as possible.
I think this is especially a case where bringing more media attention to it will really help this case. There are, I mean, a handful of news articles out there, but they all kind of regurgitate the same information. So there's not much to say in terms of like the story of Brent's disappearance, but I feel like if we get his picture out there, his name, some distinguishing characteristics, it might jog someone's memory.
So Jackson Garcia went missing from Sumter County, South Carolina, on December 29th, 2020. He is 5'11 and weighs 170 pounds with brown hair and brown eyes. And he's got some tattoos.
And the tattoos that you mentioned, he's got the word angel on the right hand and a crown with the word king on the left hand. And there's also a cartoonish type alien in a spaceship on his forearm. This is where my first bit of confusion comes in. He was last seen on the 26th.
So he was last seen by a family member on the 26th. And then there were sightings of him in another town until the 29th.
Okay. And at the time of his last sighting, he was wearing light gray sweatpants, black and white sneakers, a dark colored jacket. And he does have a history of mental illness. Unfortunately, was not on his medication at the time of his disappearance.
Jackson Garcia, who goes by Brent, is a young man who loves animals and dreams of being a veterinarian. And according to his sister, Angel, Brent's desire to help animals could always be found amongst the homeless community in the area. And he was always visiting with the people to check up on them, but more importantly, the animals. He always brought them treats. His love was genuine.
He seems like a really cute young man. I mean, caring for animals so much. I like to picture Brent going into like a camp or something and being like, hey, how are you? You know, and having like a pocket full of dog bones or something.
So that Christmas, Brent spent time with his mother, Angel Brown, and other family members. And then he spent the night of December 25th of 2020 with a cousin on Ithaca Drive. The cousin's name has not been mentioned. On the 26th of 2020, Brent and his cousin were outside talking and the cousin went into the house. Brent stayed outside. His cousin last saw him at about 7 p.m. And again, that was when Brent was last seen wearing black and white sneakers, the light gray sweatpants, and a dark colored jacket. And several people reported seeing Brent near Camden in the Springdale West DeKalb area by Walmart and the Eggs Up Grill on December 29th to the 31st of 2020, according to the Kershaw County Sheriff's Office.
So these, I suppose, are confirmed sightings of Brent in this area. I mean, his missing poster lists the December 29th as the last date that he was seen, but according to this, there were several people who reported seeing him over the course of those 3 days, the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st. So I'm not sure if the one that they put stock in is the 29th, and that's why that's the date of last seen. But it seems like he was in the area conducting business. I wonder if there was any people he was with, too.
Great question. So it seems like he left the house on his own accord, and then was sort of hanging out for at least a few days after that. So this is a very interesting one. And some sources say that Brent may be residing in Cherryvale, which is a less desirable part of town, a part of town that's known for drug use.
We don't see any kind of indication that Brent himself was using drugs. He may have just hung out with that crowd who were using drugs, but there's no report of him being an addict of any kind.
So this area of Cherryvale is about 15 to 20 minutes away from Sumter, where he was last seen. So if people are saying that he's residing there, I mean, he's still pretty close if that's the theory or if that's like a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, there was mention of him visiting camps where people without homes reside. I wonder if he sort of decided that that was the life for him and is like kind of transient with that community. I mean, that's kind of a leap in speculation, but he does have a history of hanging out with those people.
Well, and unfortunately, with his mental illness and not taking medication, he might not even know exactly who he is, at, you know, where he is. I mean, he could have had a pretty significant break.
Yeah, I guess we don't know the specifics of his history of mental illness. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's pretty tragic. I mean, usually when we cover these cases, we don't cover one where a person just walks away from a party like that.
Christmas party.
Yeah, that's strange. So obviously he did it on his own. He was seen a few days later. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. You would think he would still be in the vicinity.
Well, yeah, and they also organized searches, and they were doing that every weekend since he went missing. And they've searched with everything from vehicles, horses, on foot, drones, boats, and everywhere. Woods, ditches, waterways, abandoned houses. They even went as far as to hire the Black River Search and Rescue team on January 6th of 2021 because the company has bloodhounds, and they bring them out. Flyers had been donated by the printing businesses and people in Charleston. And those flyers are constantly being displayed and put up by Brent's mom. And in addition to that, he doesn't have his cell phone with him. He never took his cell phone, so there's no way to, you know, contact him that way. But his cell phone records have been analyzed.
Yeah, that's good information to have. Interesting that, you know, he didn't have his cell phone, I guess. Went missing without his phone. Doesn't seem like something you would do if you were trying to run away and maybe start afresh somewhere. It more seems like the type of thing where you're living without a phone. I mean, maybe he just got a new one. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. I wonder if they located the phone, if they did have the cell phone records and they determined that it was shut off I'm not sure exactly how they would know that Brent didn't take his phone with him unless they recovered the phone. But I wonder if there's a last ping on those records.
Apparently Brent's mom had the records analyzed. I guess they could tell from the ping, the final ping, I suppose, that he didn't take it with him. Hmm.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore. And in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
In a small town in Colorado, people turn to a family-run funeral home in their deepest moments of loss. Run by a mother and daughter team, the funeral home offered thoughtful services at a fair price. But there was a dark side to their business.
It was truly a house of horrors.
He said she may have dismembered him and sold parts of him.
I'm getting angry all over, a small sweat breaking out.
I'm investigative reporter Ashley Fonts, and this is the story of an unbelievable crime you've never heard of. A story of a funeral home that lured their victims in the front door only to sell their bodies out the back. From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, listen to Cover Up, Body Brokers. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
A Sherman is a demon that walks among us, a predator that ruined families.
The LISK, Long Island Serial Killer podcast, was shocked when the news broke of Rex Huerman's arrest. After more than a decade of searching, law enforcement officials had finally pieced together enough evidence to bring formal charges against Rex Huerman. Initially charged with 3 murders, Huerman is now officially charged with all 4 deaths in the Gilgo 4 case. I'm your host, Chris Moss, and the LISK podcast will be releasing new episodes with interviews and fresh insight on the case as Rex Huerman awaits trial in Long Island. While we are relieved by the arrest, the LISK podcast team will be working hard to share new developments and perspectives as we get them. So please keep your eyes and ears out for new episodes, and if you haven't already, please listen to seasons 1 and 2 of LISK, Long Island Serial Killer, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. And on March 26, 2021, Chief Deputy Hampton Gardner with the Sumter County Sheriff's Office said, "Presently, we have had some new leads in the case, and we are actively investigating those leads as we speak," end quote. But as of this recording, Brent is still missing, and the police have conducted some searches, but have had no luck in locating anything pertaining to Brent. And there is currently a $10,000 reward for information leading to Brent's location.
Does anyone know what the content of the conversation was between Brent and his cousin on that night? Was it an argument, or we just don't know?
Yeah, there's no reports of what was happening between him and his cousin that night. I mean, we have no context whatsoever. The story is that he was hanging out outside with Brent, his cousin, and then he went back inside and Brent stayed outside, and then he never saw him again.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions that we should have, you know, a little clarification on. Also, what type of mental illness? I don't think that that's even something that's been put out there. Was it, you know, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, you know, like, right. Was it a number of things?
Yeah, they didn't put out that cousin's name, so that kind of leads me to think that there's nothing to report, maybe, nothing that Brent told this cousin that he was like going somewhere. Otherwise, you would imagine he would have done an interview or something.
Yeah, and we do have those verified sightings of Brent away from his cousin's house near Camden in the Springdale, West DeKalb area, so the cousin could definitely have more information. I'm sure the police talked to him and interviewed him, but if he was seen away from that location, I don't see how his cousin would have anything to do with this.
I can think of maybe 2 reasons why the cousin's name wouldn't be put out there. Maybe just one being the cousin requested that his name's not put out there. So I guess I have 3 reasons. Maybe the cousin is under 18 years old, so they're not going to print the name of a minor. Or maybe the cousin is afraid of his name being out there for whatever reason that might have to do with Brent's disappearance. But I'm leaning more towards the minor. I'm thinking probably he was younger than 18.
Yeah, good call there. I think you're right. I mean, this cousin could potentially be a suspect or something like that. But I would say, based on what we know, pretty unlikely. It's more likely there just wasn't enough information shared that that made him a witness that needed to be named in the public. And there have been some sort of salacious rumors that were displayed on social media, specifically Reddit and Facebook. And we don't have confirmations on any of those rumors, but it is interesting to me that on such a new disappearance case from December 2020, less than a year old as we're recording this, there are such specific rumors out there on social media. I feel like usually that's the kind of thing that takes years and years to begin.
Well, yeah, and to say that we're reading these rumors and exploring the accuracy or the credibility of them is one thing, but we also want people to correct us. We love it when people correct us. If anyone has any information on anything that has been out there in regards to these rumors, like, please shoot us an email. We would love to do a correction at the top of the episode, maybe do an update episode where we say, you know, this particular rumor on Facebook got started way back when, and it's got no credibility in regards to Brent's disappearance.
Yeah, we're also coming up on the 1 year anniversary of Brent's disappearance on the 29th, I suppose, 26th, I don't know. But a lot of movement in cases ends up happening on these like important dates. Usually the media will run articles or updates, or podcast episodes will come out and people will be reminded that this person is out there missing. So I'm hoping that as we approach the 1 year anniversary, that the case gets reinvigorated.
And the family has launched a GoFundMe. It's called Justice for Brent Garcia, and they're using the hashtag Brent's Army on social media.
And if you do have any information about Jackson Brent Garcia's disappearance, please contact the Sumter Police Department at 803-436-2000.